Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Hello, everybody. Happy to have you with us. I'm Wendy Nix. Marcus Spears is here. Ryan Clark is here. And so is Adam Schefter. Mel Kiper and Todd McShay will join us just a little bit later. As we thought might be the case, the NFL announced on Monday that it will officially hold a fully virtual 2020 NFL draft. All team facilities must remain closed indefinitely due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The decision was expected by the teams, with the NFL hoping to provide a level playing field for the upcoming draft.
My level of involvement has been every time I read something like the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times that talks about how messed up Zoom is or some of these other deals, like we came out this morning, I immediately text it to our IT people. And Nick Matteo is one of those guys. And they assure me that we are doing everything humanly possible. And I remind them that that's what Wells Fargo and all those other places said about our private information. So I've got some real concerns about that. And hopefully we'll be okay. That's kind of like that, you know. We'll see what happens. I really wouldn't want the opposing coaches to have our playbook or our draft meetings. That would be preferable. We could stay away from that.
Well, it's interesting. Brendan Bean was with us yesterday, Adam, and he said the same thing. Our IT guy will be our MVP when it comes to this draft after the news that it would be fully virtual. What's been the additional reaction around the league?
When the IT guys right now are the most valuable employees in the building, and you heard John Harbaugh's concerns, and they are shared universally by many people in many organizations. It's not just a Baltimore Ravens issue. It exists on other teams. We are entering uncharted territories. We don't know how the draft is going to be conducted. Is this going to go back to 1972 where you're calling in the pick, you're emailing in the pick? They don't know. As the teams on the teleconferencing calls, communication becomes more imperative than ever before. They're on the clock, so there's a clock running. It's a lot of different issues to work through, and I think there are going to be some teams here, whereas usually they just do mock drafts. They may do mock drafts, virtual mock draft style. Again, a different world that everybody's now entering into.
I could understand why they'd want to practice, Shefty. It makes a lot of sense. Any other changes that we could see moving forward?
I think the one thing that you'd watch is, again, with everybody on virtual teleconference calls, although that's not final just yet, because I have heard some teams say they'd like to get some people in the same room, albeit at a social distance apart, 6 feet apart. So I don't know if that's final yet when the league has gone back and forth on some of these rules some of the time. But if it does stand the way it currently is constituted, I think there are people who wonder if we'll see quite as many trades as we have in other years. Usually teams are jumping all around the draft board, and it may be more difficult to compose some of those trades and pull them off if basically everybody's in different areas, people are in their homes by themselves. May not be as simple with the communication in a different style this year.
It is for sure a tricky proposition. Meanwhile, the Cowboys offseason program was scheduled to start this week, yesterday actually, but as I mentioned earlier, all facilities remain closed for safety precautions due to the coronavirus. Now, all of this comes while a team tries to effort a long-term deal with its quarterback, Dak Prescott. The two sides have until July 15th to work out a long-term deal. Adam, what is the hang-up in just getting this deal done?
The hang-up really is mainly years at this point in time. Dallas would like Dak Prescott to sign a longer deal, maybe 5 years or more. Dak Prescott wants to sign a shorter deal, 4 years or less. I don't think the money is a real issue. I think they could figure that out if they had to. I think they could come together and get that ironed out. But again, the years are a big deal, because if you just think about Dak Prescott playing 4 years and what he might be able to get at that point in time, whereas opposed to what he might be able to get playing 5 years, there's a big difference there. And that seems to be the point in which both sides have been unwilling to budge. Dallas wants minimum 5 years. Dak Prescott wants maximum 4 years. And I think that is right now the issue keeping the two sides apart. So what happens now, Wendy, is the Dallas Cowboys were scheduled to begin their offseason program yesterday, and now teams are going to have virtual offseason programs. Well, Dak Prescott would have to be signed to participate in the offseason program, but he's not signed, hasn't signed that franchise tender. Don't know when and if he will sign that franchise tender, but what would be the rules in regards to a virtual offseason program where he's not putting his body at risk? Is he allowed to participate with a new head coach in Mike McCarthy, or is he not allowed to participate? And I think right now this is a contract negotiation. I think it's business first, and I think that takes priority in Dak's mind probably over participating in the virtual offseason program.
Well, you can understand that too. Shefty, thank you. Marcus, let me ask you, as you heard Adam say, the hang-up really right now is years and really not dollars. Are the Cowboys, in your opinion, making a mistake?
Wendy, yes. I mean, look, a four-year deal, five-year deal, whatever it may be, the mistake you're making is if you hadn't identified another guy out there to be a franchise quarterback, like you've said Dak is for your organization, you're behind the eight ball. Not only behind the eight ball in what we're dealing with currently in this country, but to Adam's point about the virtual offseason, you want your quarterback to be more involved than anybody else on the team. And if the contract dispute or disagreement or impasse because of the years is causing him to not be available, then it's an issue for Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff. Ultimately, the foundation of this is football. When will you get Dak Prescott a part of this organization to go towards football and implementing whatever is new offensively and having his teammates and having that leadership role? So it's a big issue, the fact that they haven't got this contract done, especially if Dak is not going to be a part of what this virtual offseason is going to entail.
And isn't a big deal to me, but I do think the issue with the contract is interesting, especially when Adam speaks about it being about years. I listened to Marcus right around the time people were signing free agent contracts, and he said he talked to his old agent, Pat Dye Jr., and he talked about guys signing shorter deals because the TV money will kick in. So if you're the Cowboys, you want to lock Dak in for as long as you possibly can so you don't have to redo that deal. And if you're Dak Prescott and you feel like you aren't getting the yearly monetary value that you want that deal to be shorter so you can play well and re-up when the salary cap rises more than a lot of people think it will this year or next. And so it seems smart to me that Dak is kind of trying to play the long game. But if you're the Dallas Cowboys, you want Dak Prescott around. I don't necessarily believe this virtual offseason is as big of a deal if he missed OTAs or missed being in the building with his guys to build chemistry and camaraderie with the new coaching staff. But I do think that this deal needs to get done. They need to figure out a way that they can move forward because the Dallas Cowboys will start and end with how well Dak Prescott plays, and him being happy plays into that.
Well, sure, Ryan. Let me ask you this. If you're Dak and you see the Cowboys posting their pre-draft interview with Jalen Hurts, as they did, not a huge deal, but, you know, do you think anything of it?
Right. Nah, you can't. Listen, you can't be petty. And, you know, there's a rap lyric that I like that if all I see is me, then who should I be afraid of? And when you look at Jalen Hurts seems like a guy that you might want to draft if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're Mike McCarthy, because he plays similar to what Dak Prescott does. And so that would be a good guy that you could get in the later rounds, not necessarily fifth and sixth, but third, fourth round, that would help you. Now, if they posted a video of them talking to Jordan Love, then I'd have a little issue, because this is a guy that's projected to go in the first round, may have a little bit more natural talent than Dak Prescott. But Jalen Hurts, you can just say it's the old Oklahoma connection between Jerry Jones and Jalen Hurts. I don't necessarily believe that is a big deal. I don't believe they were sending a message. This is obviously a very popular guy, someone that I'm sure Jerry Jones loves to be associated with.
Hell no, Ryan. You've been, for the past few days, you've been here for the snacks. I'm here for the pettiness, big bro. Listen, this is petty. This is Jerry Jones at his finest. This is a potential third to fourth round draft pick. Who else was a fourth round draft pick? Dak Prescott. Who else did they say couldn't push the ball downfield? Dak Prescott. Who said this player is going to burst on the scene and make a lot of plays and be good for a team? Dak Prescott. Jalen Hurts is almost in the same exact vein. If you for one second think I spent 8 years with Jerry Jones and not know the pettiness of Jerry Jones and what he does, then you are absolutely out your mind. RC, you know I love you, but this was Jerry poking the bear 100%. Hey, it's basically saying,
Marcus,
see, it's other guys out there like you.
No, Marcus, that, but that's the point though. There's another guy like me. I need you to go get somebody who look better than me. You know how it is. If your old lady leave you and the next dude she with poo, you not tripping. If he just like
you're
me,
not tripping,
I ain't tripping.
Okay.
But if he taller than me, if his edge fresher than mine, if his clothes better than mine, and his body fat percent lower than mine, now I got an issue. If you just go get another me, I'm cool. I'm an upgrade. And so
shoot.
I understand what Jerry Jones may be doing, but if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts still has a lot to prove, which are things I have already proved as a quarterback in this league.
All right, Marcus, you call it petty. I call it a little
good-natured
fun. Come on, you got to love Jerry.
It was all good till you got her that Bentley. It was all good till he able to get her that Bentley.
Yeah, listen, send it this way. If I could just get him to leave, that'd be good enough. Yeah. All right, listen. Tom Brady is now a Tampa Bay Buck. We know that. And he may be able to – he's not able to be in the facility, but he's certainly there in spirit. So – Brady published an article in the Players Tribune yesterday saying goodbye to New England and hello to his new team. He said, they've welcomed me as one of their own. They want to listen to what I have to say. I'm excited to be embraced fully for what I can bring to the Bucks. In turn, I'm ready to embrace fully a team that is confident in what I do and what I bring and is willing to go on this ride with me. Listen, Ryan, I think it's interesting that right away you hear from Brady, they want to hear my input. And I got to tell you, I think that was something that was missing in New England and something that was important to Tom Brady.
Listen, Tom wants to be loved. I remember when we were at the Super Bowl and I talked to y'all about Tom Brady posting the thirst trap from the tunnel and all that. Everybody laughed, kee-keed. But this is what he wanted. He wanted someone to value his opinion. He wanted someone to say, Tom, what do you want? What, you know what? Like all women, you know what we want? Y'all want us to say, hey, what you want to eat? And you know what y'all want to tell us? I don't know. But that's the type of relationship he wanted to be in. He wanted to be in a relationship where people come to him, Tom, what plays do you like? Tom, what would you like to see us do with the organization? What other pieces do you need around you? Let's build around you. And so those are the things he feels like he's getting in Tampa Bay. When you read fully into what he says they have fully embraced me. How does he know? He can't go to the facility. He can't practice. He can't be around the coaches, be around the guys. It's the way that they've approached him, the questions that they've asked him, the way that they've included him and made him feel like his opinions will be valued. Bill Belichick doesn't need to change because what he does works. For the last two decades, there has not been a more dominant football coach than Bill Belichick. So Tom Brady had to leave so he could fully be fulfilled. And this is what he has in Tampa Bay. Now it's all on Tom. They used to be the greatest duo in football. Now we are going to see who they are as individuals. Tom gets what he wants. Now he has to produce.
You know, RC, you make a great point, man. I'm not sure if the cliche, the grass is green, is not always greener, but sometimes it is. And in Tom's case, he wanted to have this sort of control. I'm sure him, Bruce Arians, and Byron Leftwich are going to do this collectively, where in New England, obviously, you knew it was some parts of the organization you weren't going to touch. When you think about offensively, Dante Scarnecchia left, Josh McDaniels obviously being the offensive coordinator. I'm not sure. That, like, Ryan know how football goes. Defensive guys go to their side of the building. Offensive guys go to their side of the building. Yeah. So what Tom is warning, I'm not sure if it's about football. I think it's about relationship, input on roster, having players there. And what's the thing that we talked about all season long, lamented about? Tom has no weapons. Well, he damn sure got them now in Tampa. So I think it's more pressure on Tom Brady to get it done in Tampa Bay than it is for Bill Belichick. Listen, everybody knew that there would be a drop-off when Jordan retired from the Bulls. Everybody knew that when Gretzky left or when Dion or Bo Jackson left a team. We're talking about transcendent players, GOATs, greatest of all times. There's a drop-off. I don't give a damn how good your coach is. But when you look at this particular situation, I think Tom Brady betting on Tampa Bay caused himself to have more to lose than Bill Belichick does. If Bill Belichick doesn't win, you know what we're going to say? Well, he didn't have Tom Brady, and it takes a little while to find another guy to put in that spot. If Tom Brady doesn't win, people are going to spit that cliche, the grass is not always greener. But to the article's point, Tom is telling us exactly what Ryan just said. I didn't have the type of input I wanted in New England's organization, being that I was there for 20 years and I thought I should have more say. And now I went to a place where I do.
And you know what else, Marcus? I think everything you say is correct. And I think Tom Brady is motivated by all of that. It drives him. He wants to prove that he can do it without Bill Belichick. Yeah. What he's also got, by the way, are new jerseys. The Bucs revealed their new uniforms today. A simplified look, if you will, reminiscent of the ones they wore at the start of the century, plus a pewter-colored alternative. So we have choices, Ryan Clark. One word to describe these, if you will.
Boom.
I am so impressed. I thought there was no chance you'd use one word.
Hey, it shouldn't be pewter. It should be pooter. Because that's what it is. It is pooter. The fact that they didn't go back to the orange sickle or whatever they used to call it, I cannot believe it. This was the time. Creamsicle. Tom Brady is back. Bring back the push-pop colored uniforms. It was time for y'all to take that next step and show us that y'all was going to be different. And y'all went and did this. Y'all made a uniform worse. And I just don't understand it.
Marcus, remember how good those things were, by the way? I don't want to digress, but those creams, you know, you pushed them up. They were so good. Anyway, what do you think about the uniforms?
Super nice. They were the envy of some football teams. To be honest with you, but I'm with Ryan. Pooh-er. I'm going to be honest with y'all. Can I be honest with y'all? Because this
Don't
is a circle
now.
Of friends on NFL Live.
Yeah.
Can I tell y'all the truth? I didn't see the difference. I really didn't. I was like, there's so many damn uniforms now. I didn't even realize the version had changed. I was like, what the hell they do all this to put the same damn uniform on TV for? So I don't know. It's just all right to me.
Listen, the wheels are off and we're just getting started. I don't know. This doesn't bode well.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Star pass rusher Yannick Ngakoue is not totally thrilled in Jacksonville. He's been on Twitter a few times, expressing his displeasure both before and after receiving the franchise tag this offseason. Defensive end has claimed he has no interest in signing a long-term deal with the Jags and that his time is up. Our time with Yannick Ngakoue is just beginning. Yannick, thanks for joining us. And let's just start with what happened between you and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Thank you so much for having me. But first is first, I just want to give a special shout out to the first responders that are doing a tremendous and great job right now with this pandemic we're going through. And also, what happened between me and Jacksonville is very simple. The organization had the opportunity to keep me long term last offseason, and things kind of broke off. So, you know, everything happens for a reason, and not everything lasts forever. Things come to an end, and it's time for me to move on to the next chapter of my career. And I'm forever thankful for what Jacksonville has brought to me and my family, but it's time to move on.
All right, Yannick, then, in that case, any thoughts on where or at least what type of team you'd be interested in playing for?
Well, I'm not really sure what team I will be landing at, but what type of team that I would love to join is a team that has great culture. I really want to be a part of a team that has great culture, and winning is a habit. I don't want to be part of a team where losing is a norm or anything of that nature. I want to be part of something special. Also, I just want to go to a place where the community, I can make a great impact in the community and just reach out to younger people that look up to me.
Yannick, the draft is just over 2 weeks away, and there'll be teams that go through their boards and will mull whether or not to make an offer, a trade offer to Jacksonville. If there's a team out there that's interested in you, what will you bring to that team? What would you say to any team right now who's pondering making a move for you around the draft?
The first thing I have to say to any 31 team, other teams that will like to take me during a draft, I bring just a different presence in the locker room, not just on the field. you can reach out to anybody that's ever played with me in Jacksonville. The kind of intensity and aggressiveness I bring is different. In my opinion, I'm a top five defensive end in this league, top three. My play hasn't been able to be seen like that, being playing in Jacksonville, not having too many primetime games. So, you know, if I end up landing on a team that's prime time, hopefully I can show the world what I can do completely.
What makes you a top 3 to 5 defensive end in this league, Yannick?
Well, getting sacks is a thing that people always harp on, getting sacks. But it's not about always getting sacks. It's about getting the ball out. And for a player that's on the defensive side of the ball to be able to get the ball out, it's basically making him an offensive player. And I look at myself as an offensive guy because when our offense is – any offense I've played with, when they're in detrimental situations, they look at me to get the ball back. And if I can get the ball back for them, it just gives them another opportunity to be able to win the game for us. So that's another trait that I will bring to a new team is getting the ball out. And who doesn't love a forced fumble?
Now, you mentioned you work in the community. What kind of charities are you involved with, Yannick?
Well, recently I just partnered with a relief team called No Kid Hungry. And half of the profits that I've donated will be going to the city where I came from, where I was born, Washington, D.C. And the other half will be spread out throughout the rest of the other states. But basically, this organization, it helps parents that are laid off right now from work with everything that's going on and families that are less fortunate have access to get food and meals. And the thing that I thought was pretty cool about this group was that they actually have a hotline and they have a national map that they're making too, just to enhance it and make it more special for people to get meals.
Well, Yannick, we certainly appreciate the work you're doing. I do have to ask you, there's some challenges for everybody during this time. You have to stay in shape. You have to pass the time. How are you doing those things while we make our way through this pandemic?
Well, I have to give all the credit to my agent right now. If it wasn't for him, my garage, I have like a big gym getting set up right now. He's constantly getting bands, medicine balls, everything like that sent to my house right now. I'm just constantly setting things up, and that's just taking most of my time.
Yeah, he's not going to let you off the hook. it's not going to stop that.
Absolutely not. You have to make sure I keep working.
We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
Thank you, Yannick.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Have a blessed one.
You too.
The Falcons have finally said their deal with Todd Gurley is done, even though it's not really done, and that's because deals aren't official until a player passes a physical, and he cannot do that the Falcons doctors right now because of the corona outbreak, which has, as I mentioned, again, closed team facilities. Here's DM Thomas Dimitroff.
In our mind, we're thinking about Todd Gurley coming in, and Todd Gurley is, you know, he really takes care of his body well, and he'll continue to work on it. We'll continue to be very mindful about what we are dealing with. We feel very comfortable with it. You know, he's a hard charging runner and he's an excellent football player. And we are counting on him to be an excellent football player for us. If and when, which I'm going to say when he passes our physical, I think he's going to do a very good job contributing to this offense. And again, thinking about all the skills that he brings to the table for us, not only as a runner, but also as a guy that can catch the ball. We're very encouraged by what we think he can add to us.
Adam, again, there are some particular and unique challenges to where we are right now. How will the Falcons approach this moving forward?
Well, he's got to pass that physical first, Wendy. And as you mentioned, he has not yet done that. So they've announced the agreement, which is official, but the deal is not yet official because he hasn't passed that physical just yet. But I think Atlanta is confident that he will. And I think once he does, assuming he does, they'll have to take care of him. I don't think that Todd Gurley will ever be a 23, 24, 25 carry a game workhorse back the way that he was in Los Angeles. I think now they're going to have to use him in spots. I think 10, 12, 14 carries a game, maybe the way that the Saints use Alvin Kamara to a certain extent, red zone work, third downs, key spots, because he's still a great running back, but they want to make sure they preserve his knees long term and make sure they manage him the right way.
All right, Adam, let's talk about Hard Knocks for just a minute. You know what? July and August will come. We hope there's some return to normalcy at that point. So the league is releasing some details about the plans for Hard Knocks.
Well, essentially, the league is planning to have the Chargers and Rams on Hard Knocks. There's been no announcement yet. The league is not making any announcement yet. But the plan, Wendy, whenever the league does publicize it, is to move forward with these two teams, to supersize Hard Knocks, if you will, because the HBO and NFL Films have never done that before. And I think they want to do something different. So they're going to go to the same city and go to the two teams that will play in the same stadium this year, assuming there is football and assuming there is training camp. And if that is the case, The Rams will make their first appearance on Hard Knocks since 2016. The Chargers never have been on Hard Knocks before. NFL Films once wanted them on. A.J. Smith put the kibosh on that at that point in time. Now it's a situation where both teams would be on. And again, you lose something from one team, but you gain it from another. Look, we'll take whatever form of football we can get this summer, as long as it is on.
Without question, we'll take it all. Supersize away. Shefty, thank you. Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay join us now. And the NFL draft, as we now know, fellas, will be fully virtual. Teams will work from their homes. And Mel, we asked Adam Schefter this earlier, but what have you heard in terms of reactions around the league?
Dealing with it. They've obviously understand what the situation is, and you do the best you can. You have a communication open. They're obviously getting ready. They have plenty of time now to prepare for April 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's going to be challenging for everybody doing things like this, that particular three-day period, but they're going to get through it. Now, you guys and Todd, and we talked to the teams that are well-stocked in terms of personnel departments. They've been ready for a couple months now since the combine ended. Best draft in the history of the NFL. We're back in 1971 and 1974 by the Pittsburgh Steelers when you didn't have all this, Todd, going on. So they'll get it done. Some will complain a little more than others, but come April 23rd, they'll be ready.
Well, listen, Mel, to your point, it is what it is. And every team will have to deal with this. It's just where we are. And, Todd, I think at some point you have to turn your attention to trying to find an edge.
And that's exactly what teams are saying. And, you know, it's not the old Marriott Marquis. Is that right, Kiper? I think that's where it started. But listen, teams are actually renting out hotels, like entire hotels, to try to get facilities where they can just go and sit down and watch the tape and discuss the players and do everything that they normally do. The thing that everyone that I've talked to, every GM that I've spoken to is most concerned about is the fact that the draft weekend is my bandwidth. I keep hearing bandwidth. I haven't heard bandwidth in like 10 years, but everything's about bandwidth and Wi-Fi. Is something going to cut out? Do I have a kid that's going to run in as I'm going to be making a pick in, you know, 15 overall, whatever it is? So there's a lot of just different concerns that these teams have, but teams are trying to get an advantage now. And I talked to one GM who said, you know, I'm trying to think, what would Bill do? WWBD, right? What would Bill Belichick do? How would he get an advantage? And I'm trying to get a little bit of a slight advantage over everyone else in the league. And, you know, every team's trying to do what they can.
Yeah, there are worse questions to ask than that one. That's for sure. Let's turn now to some questions of our own, if we will. Burning draft questions, Mel. All right, are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
I hope, Wendy.
Okay. All right, here we go. Could Herbert go before Tua?
Oh, boy, Todd's going to be screaming on this one. But, yeah, he could. Think about where you're sitting there in that top group. Do you want to go and take a Tua who has the medical injury situation and the three injuries with the durability concern moving forward, or go with a quarterback who's been clean through this process, which was obviously interrupted? So it's a chance. I still have Tua rated ahead of Herbert.
This is a classic Kiper. This is so Kiper.
It's not classic.
This is exactly what you do. You take the 50th player. You take the 50th player, you put him in the top 25, and then you'll just gradually slide him back. You're doing the same thing with Herbert. I get it. I like Jordan Love, the Utah State quarterback, more than Justin Herbert,
the
Oregon quarterback.
The
but you're trying to push him up because of the Tua situation.
No, not at all. It has nothing to do with the way I rate a player. I'm talking about what you hear is that Herbert is right now a guy that people have a very favorable commentary about, and they like him. Now, does Miami like him over Tua? There's been speculation, but nobody knows. Is there anybody going to play the game? Nobody wants to let anybody know who they really
legitimate question. I'm just asking you. Kipe, I'm just asking you.
Sure.
Have you legitimately talked to someone in the league who has said, I would take Justin Herbert over Tua?
Yes.
Okay.
End of story. Yes.
All right. Look, be careful, guys. I don't want any IT issues with you two right now, in case you cut out. Todd,
bandwidth.
Will four quarterbacks go in the top 10?
I don't know the top 10. I mean, we all know Joe Burrow is going to go number one overall. It's a 95% chance that it's going to be Cincinnati. Miami wants to move up and get him. If they can't, I have heard that they do like Justin Herbert, but Tua Tagovailoa is going to be the second quarterback off the board, in my opinion. Justin Herbert and Jordan Love. are going to be the next two quarterbacks off the board. I've talked to teams that like Herbert. I'm rational, unlike Kuiper. And Love, I think, is going to be right there with him. So it's going to be somewhere in that, I think, 10 to 20 range. All four of these quarterbacks are going to go in the first round. There will not be a fifth quarterback, in my opinion, that goes in the first round. But I'm not certain that they will all go in the top 10.
All right, fellas, hold your fire, because there's more where this comes from. Our SportsCenter special coming up right after NFL Live. Mel and Todd answer your NFL draft questions. SportsCenter is back at 5, and then PTI join the show at 5:30. SVP, by the way, caps our day with SportsCenter at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. New on NFL Live this afternoon from our own Diana Rossini. NFL coaches, along with the competition committee, will soon submit recommendations for rule changes to owners. One of the biggest items is a skybox official. Also, there's yet to be a proposal to extend pass interference replay. In other words, if it's not proposed, it goes away. And to think there was nothing to look forward to.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security, is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
The NFL and Pro Football Hall of Fame unveiled its all-decade team yesterday. There was controversy with the quarterbacks, which we'll get to in a second. Adrian Peterson led the way among four running backs, with Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce serving as the two tight ends. J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald won half of the Defensive Player of the Year awards last decade, so clearly that's not a surprise. But the big debate at quarterback, where Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers were the only two selections, which means conspicuously absent Drew Brees, who led the decade in pass yards, touchdowns, and completion percentage. Brees also became the all-time leader in each of those categories during the decade, but Rodgers won two MVPs and a Super Bowl. Brees' title came at the end of the last decade. Marcus, back to you. Who would you have taken as your quarterback after Brady? We'll put him there. Brees or Rodgers?
Drew Brees. And it's not a question. He's thrown for more yards, more touchdowns, and a higher completion percentage. And I get it. MVP, Super Bowl, I get all of that. Drew Brees had just done his, so he missed it by a year or two, I think. But when you look at this in totality, you talk about an all-decade team. Drew Brees has been more synonymous with the success at the quarterback position than Aaron Rodgers. We've lamented about Aaron Rodgers being one of the best we've ever seen. But from a production standpoint, from what the team is, from what the Saints has been through, where this organization was before Drew got there, in the last 10, all-decade team, 10 years, Drew Brees is the guy that I would think has been at the top of the class for quarterbacks. And even in some years, comparable to being better than Brady, or you can make an argument that he was.
Marcus, we started to show off so good. I don't know what you did on the break that's now gotten you off track.
You going Aaron
Rodgers? You said
it
yourself. Let's talk about this decade, Marcus. Two MVPs in this decade. You know how many MVPs Drew Brees has over his total career? Zero. He has a Super Bowl in this decade. Drew Brees does not. I get the passing yards. I get the statistics. And what's happened is we're both from Louisiana, so you're feeling a little homesick. You live in Dallas now. You're stuck in your house, and you're starting to think, oh, let me say some good things about the crib. But the statistics are a product of the offense that the New Orleans Saints run. He's never been the best quarterback of his era. He's never been considered the best quarterback playing at the time. Aaron Rodgers was. When Aaron Rodgers was winning MVPs, when he won the Super Bowl, we thought he was maybe the best quarterback we had ever seen. Until Patrick Mahomes, many have said he's the best to ever throw a ball. So to leave this guy off the all-decade team would be crazy. Now, if you want to add three, or you want to add one and have three, then you add Drew Brees. But what Aaron Rodgers did for the first 7 years of this decade was absolutely phenomenal. And some of the things we've seen lately with Drew Brees breaking the records has him in the forefront of our mind. But Aaron Rodgers was that bad man that Stephen A. always talks about. Two MVPs, Super Bowl, that gets you to be on the All-Decade team. Shoot, Darrell Revis is on it, and 16 and 17 was a wash for him.
It ain't no damn robot out there throwing the ball in New Orleans. Ain't nobody put just a figurine back there and said, hey, throw all these touchdowns to all of these people. I hear you and I feel you, but I can't believe you, former Pittsburgh Steeler, gonna say Aaron Rodgers. You are a part of the reason he on the damn All-Decade team.
Marcus, I saw it in person.
It's Drew Brees.
I saw it in person, Marcus. I don't care.
Guys, I hate to break this up. You know, we only have so much fun in a day.
Can't feel no breeze?
Nope.
Wendy, I'm stuck in my house. How am I feel a breeze?
I know. Well, open the doors, Ryan. Open the doors.